Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
to A Team of Voices, A Soft Place to Fall, with your host, Lady A. And our Team of Voices is our poetry group, which is under the umbrella of allpoetry.com, the largest poetry group in the world. And I welcome you tonight. And before we begin, I'd like to say some thank you to Deborah Lee, who is our producer and the creator of these radio blog programs, and she's the brains and the brawn behind every show, and I appreciate her more and more each day for all that she is and all that she does, and I thank you, Deborah Lee. And we have a few callers that are already here, and our show tonight is about if you're having any kind of going through any hardship, any hard times in your life, and how you cope with it, what you do when you do face these kinds of realities. And we're talking about all kinds of things, but do you feel like there's anybody listening to you, and what are you doing to ease the pain? And if you had that pain, have you ever overcome it? And how did you get through it? So just to have a poetry to me is cathartic, and so when I go through kind of rough times, I write about it, and it helps release some of that sorrow and pain that you're going through, and there's healing in it. And so that's what our show is going to be about tonight. And we have a few poems, and we have some people that have called in. And I just want to take a line here right now. And hello, 909, and welcome to A Soft Place to Fall. Who's calling, please?
My mom, Suma Mia.
Oh, Bella.
Good evening. Hola.
Welcome.
Hi, Hatter.
So we have Hatter here, Bella, and Mary,
Mary.
And myself. And this is our
Bella.
Hi, Bella. Bella
good
calls
evening.
Me Mama all the time. And I like that from her. She's the only one that can do that. And we were just saying, I was just telling them, the listeners, and what the show is about tonight, and it is about if we're going through, you know, are you going through a painful time in your life right now, and if you feel like anybody is listening to you, and what do you do to ease the pain, and if you've had that and you overcame it, how did you get through it, and so that's what we're kind of talking about. And we can discuss a few things before we get into the poetry. And first, before we do that, I want to ask if anybody's in a hurry. Is there anybody in a rush to get out of here, or can you hang out for a bit? Mary, how about you? Are you okay to hang with us for a while?
It's Mary and me. It's Melissa. Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, great. And Hatter, I know that you sometimes have to come and go, so feel free to do so. And Bella, hopefully you're here for the duration. That would be great. So, you know, we all experience some kind of sorrow in our life at one time or another, or some of us more often than not. And so we can kind of chat up a little bit about that. And if anybody feels like they want to talk about what they're experiencing right now, just kind of raise your hand, let me know, and I'll call on you. And if you don't feel like chatting about it, then that's okay too. You don't have to share something if you don't feel comfortable or safe enough to do so. And so does anybody want to share anything right now before we get into the poetry? Or speak
well,
up or forever hold
really over. I don't know if you ever really get over it. You just learn to live with it.
What do you think, Hatter? How do you think that?
I don't. Well, you know, the hurt's hurt. You get through it because you have to.
Yeah.
You've got to learn to not drag it around with you, because that's poison to you, to your inner being, and people can tell. You're dragging somebody else's. You're paying rent. They live in your head. So, yeah, you've got to get through it. You just got to get through it and seek out the people that make you comfortable and happy, and trudge on. Do the best.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said for that, and I think we have to put one foot ahead of the other and keep on going, and no matter how much pain you're in. And, I mean, I've had a tremendous amount of circumstantial pain that's been in my life, and it's been difficult for sure. And but I forced myself to push through. And my philosophy is to do just that. Is to, because there's always something that we can do to help ourselves. Now we have to be careful too, because there are a lot of people who have a chemical imbalance, and it's a physical, metabolical thing that they have not enough serotonin, so they need a little bit of help with perhaps an antidepressant or something like that to help boost the serotonin in our body. So that's that's a real physical thing that can cause depression and other things. So, but even saying go ahead.
Writing, like you said, is therapeutic for you to write down. I think that's how a lot of people start writing, is the sorrow, to release the sorrow they're carrying in their heart. And it's, I think it's best to, unless you need to vent and talk to and trust somebody to it, I think it's, you keep it on the paper and ink, draw your metaphors carefully that mean something to you. And that's how I look at it. It's too negative to carry around, and it's a hard thing to do, but you're not the only one that's ever been in this situation. You got to remember that. And they made it.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's important to, in spite of all that, we have to be careful to be very empathetic as well, so that people realize that we're listening to them, you know, if they're hurting. And,
yeah.
Nothing worse than spilling your gut. Nobody's listening to you, like, you know, basically, okay, well, we heard that story before. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to be validated. You need to be validated when you're having difficulty like that. And
yeah, you can't make other people do anything. So you've got to look at it that way. If they see something another way than you do, a different way, or it's a lose-lose conversation. If you try to not force, but subject other people to your sorrow, best friends, family members, you know, I don't know where that line, because there's always somebody that'll listen and help you. But you gotta trudge on. You gotta keep it on.
Harder for some to do that. You know, it's a lot harder for. For some to do that, and I think that
I've been in a cave for 20 years.
There are things you can do. And you know, one of the biggest things too is to start helping other people. Like, that helps take the focus off ourselves. If you start helping other people in their dilemmas, and that makes it a lot easier to cope with your own life, because you're not thinking about yourself so much, you know, which, you know, that there are all kinds of things that you can, and I'm not saying that to be flippant either. I'm, you know, this is a serious type of thing that can happen to you,
I know what you mean. Anybody that, any therapist or any doctor or anybody that is trying to help you psychologically or soulfully or spiritually, they, 90% of them have gone through it, and they understand.
Yeah.
It's hard to have somebody tell you how to feel if they've never been there, but a lot of people get in the field because they want to help, and that's how they deal with it, and they want to help you deal with it, and it's easier to talk to somebody that knows what you're talking about, you know.
Well, they have the empathy. They have, you know, it's something that they can relate to, and they can share with somebody else that's going through it when you've already been through it yourself. But I think when you go through stuff like that, I think a lot of it is, you know, you go through a period of grief. You know, and it doesn't mean somebody's virtually died, but if you've lost, you know, your friend, or you've lost, you know, financially lost your home, or your job, you know, all of these things are factors that in the end, you know, we hope that you can learn how to cope better. Our lives change when you have trauma take place. Then we change, and our lives are changed forever. And that's the hardest part of going through a trauma, is that you have to be able to get to the place where you're accepting that life of yours is different now, that it's not ever going to be the same. And so you learn how to cope with that and survive it, basically. That's pretty much what happens. And so if you can do that, take your focus off yourself and think of others, start helping somebody. Like, you know, volunteer in a nursing home to go feed the elderly that, you know, or read to them or sing to them or play an instrument or whatever you do that can make their lives different. You know, it'll make your life different. And, you know, I felt really lucky in being a registered nurse in my career. I felt like every single day that I worked, I'm retired now, but every single day that I worked, I felt like I could give back to somebody else. And it made me happy to be able to do that, you know, and it was a gift, I felt, a real gift to be able to share a part of yourself that makes a difference in somebody else's life. You know?
The Clara Barton syndrome.
What did you say?
Is that the Clara Barton syndrome?
I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean?
Nothing. Clara Barton, the Red Cross, right?
Oh, okay. I think that there's something to be said for helping other people, no matter what your circumstances. There's always somebody else that needs help with whatever, and we learn by that, you know, and we become better people for it. So
you figure out your niche and your niche on this earth is to help people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of nurses know that. You know, my sister-in-law is a nurse, and she's always wanted to be one. And she's happy she's one. And,
yeah. So, Mary, did you have anything that you'd like to share with regard to that, or join in the conversation? You don't have to if you don't feel like you want to, but I mean, we certainly welcome and hope that you feel free that you can share something if you want to.
Was that for me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I want to go with, I agree with pretty much everything you said as far as getting out of yourself and kind of giving back some to try to make a situation better. I can honestly say sometimes that is impossible.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just isn't something where you're in a position where you can do that, and that kind of makes you feel worse.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was talking about, you know, some people have that lack of serotonin, and that's a medical condition, and some people need to have a bit of a boost with that sort of thing. And I mean, there's no shame in that. And you know, I've needed the help of antidepressants over the years, and counseling too at times. You know, like, you know, we're human beings, and we can only take so much sometimes, and we have to, sometimes we just need a little boost, you know, and I appreciate you saying that for sure. And Bella, what about you? Do you have something that you'd like to share with us?
Well, would you like me to share to you guys, Mama? Hey, you
whatever you
yet.
Well, you can and want to. If you don't, you don't have to.
I think I pretty shared a lot of me already. I had people see me as the smile and the glow, but you know, they don't really know what's inside of the person once they get to dig deeper, because that's the only way for them to really find out. And that's the reason why some of my poems, I don't know if they can touch a person's heart or a person's soul, but yeah, some of my poems, they are laced with longing, dreaming, and pain, because it's what I have inside. And I always tell people that when I write something, it's not really a poetry. It's a part of yourself in a paper That's your story that hopefully will never fade and someone will learn a lesson from it, you know, Mama?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm gonna go back to my little list of things to do and see if is it Mary or Maria?
It's Myriad. Myriad Musings. Myriad. It's Melissa.
Myriad. Okay, I'm sorry.
First name is Melissa, so you can call me Melissa if you want to.
Melissa, okay.
Myriad.
And what I'm going to do is would you like to go first?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to put your poem, Survivor, in the room for us to share. And I'm looking forward to hearing you read this. And let's find the room. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up too. All right. Let me know when you're ready. Okay.
Okay. They're in the room there now, kids. And
okay.
Hey, Budo. Hi, Budo. Great to hear.
This went into a number of things that are having me, got me kind of down, but it is what it is.
Okay.
All right. Survivor. It's been a year since my first stroke, and it is creepy for me to know my body is failing. My mental illness is ailing me, depression and anxiety, just casually sneaking up on me, bipolar 1 and insomnia, sleepless but strapped with mania, ADHD tormenting me like a plague of locusts. I cannot focus. 3 months have passed since my second stroke. I'm paralyzed, but still I cope. Recovery is possible if you tackle it with hope. I have my poetry to soothe and comfort me, to temper my emotions, and I write daily, dabbing at the keyboard with the 3 fingers that work, feeling like a jerk because I can't do anything. I can't dress myself, and I can't drive. But hey, at least I am alive.
Wow.
I got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, that's for sure. First of all, I want to say that I feel like you're brave to share this tonight and to speak so personally about what you're going through. And I'm happy that you still have both feet on the planet. And I know that this must be very, very difficult for you to go through strokes and be left with some impairments that certainly change your life when you're dependent on other people to help you. And that's really so difficult. Like, it's just
It's thrown me for quite the loop. I can tell you, it's thrown me for quite the loop.
Yes.
But, I kind of, earlier's conversation, I think what struck me the most out of it was 2 things. One was, we get through it because you have to get through it. I mean, I have no choice. I mean, I could just lie here, which I did. I did that. I'm not going to lie. For 2 months, I kind of just lied around here and just did nothing. But I mean, there's not much I can do. You know what I'm saying? But I wallowed in self-pity. And, you know, I'm trying to get back to where I can function kind of normally. I can't work. I'm unemployed now, and I'm not collecting unemployment. I'm disabled and waiting for disability. So, you know, I'm finding myself in the financial bind, and I'm finding myself, they won't let me drive right now because they said my reaction times are too slow, and I can't use my left hand, so like the left side of my body won't work. So I can't just go. It's like I can't go when I said sometimes you just can't feasibly go help somebody. I'd love to go read to the school children, go read to elderly or do something, but I can't.
Yeah.
There's
not always
no
possible.
Problem.
That's for absolutely sure. And I think it's really brave of you to, you know, even to continue, you know, as you are. And you know, if anybody's ever been in a position where they're helpless, and somebody's going to do for them, whether it's, you know, getting dressed, feeding you, or helping you to the bathroom and wiping your butt. You know, like it's a really difficult place to be because you are at the mercy of others, and the it's humiliating. And I speak to you because, you know, I've been there too. I've been there, and it's an awful place to be. But I think it's brave of you to share that part of yourself too. And even maybe physically you might not be able to do something, but doing what you did tonight just now, reading your poem, that's the same thing. You're helping somebody, and because someone's going to hear your story through your poetry, and feel like they're not alone, and so that's a wonderful thing, I think.
Yeah.
Hatter,
yeah,
what did you think, Hatter?
Yeah, at first I wasn't sure if this was a true story.
It's
I'm
true. It's 100% true.
I'm sad to hear you're going through this. It's good that you. Reaching out to find something to help, and I hope hanging with us will. As long as you can write, you're one of us. And good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been trying to keep busy with my writing and keep the mind active, and I sit here and I'll think of different words and different things that rhyme and just words that go together and nice phrases while I'm doing my exercises with my stroke hand, trying to get the feeling back. So it's been all right. And I do counseling to try to deal with the anger, because this was a situation that, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm trying to accept. I'm trying to have acceptance that there's really nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, that's going to be really frustrating too, knowing that there's you can't do anything different to change the situation. Wow.
Are you a rhyming poet? Are you a rhyming poet?
No, I actually prefer free verse, but I've been forcing myself to rhyme more.
Okay.
Trying to get out of my comfort zone. I've been trying to teach myself as many forms as I can.
I think it's easier. I think if you master rhyme, it's easier to create on your free.
Yes, I've been doing a lot better with rhyme, but then you can get, because what I've noticed with the free verse is I tend to have a lot of internal rhyme, you know, from line to line, which is like, it's not end rhyme, but it flows so much nicer. It really has a really good effect.
Yeah, whatever sounds good. Yeah. In the same way.
That's great. Bella, what did you think?
I like the entire poem, you know, it is laced. I actually commented on it already. You can really palpate hook circling in that piece, you know. And I told her that it's one of the things we need to hold by the hand to see things differently, different from how other people see what we have, you know. And I am. What do you call this one, Mama? A good word for it. Not a lot of people be able to stand up and then fight more, especially when you've experienced a lot of things already in your life. And I am very, very blessed to have. I know her pen name, actually. I've seen her pen name around, and I didn't know her story back then, but now that I know her story, I am a fan. You know, your strength is different,
not only
physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. And I wish you good luck and healing, fast healing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for you.
Yeah.
An inspiration, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, we all have, and surprisingly enough, we don't know that in some cases, that we do have that power to help others, no matter what our circumstances are, because you show yourself as a a hero, really, to survive these kinds of things. And I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me just go back and see where we are with the scheme of things.
You know what, Mama?
Yes.
She made me think, and it's funny how other people think about a lot of things. Like they tell you problems that are. I'm sorry for my language. Okay, I'm saying sorry in advance, but they are thinking about their problems that sometimes too shallow compared to the ones who are just there, what they're feeling and how they are suffering, but. Look at the ones that really are wounded deeply. They are the ones who are stronger compared to the ones who are wounded shallow. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say, Mama, here?
That's why sometimes I tend to close myself. Because
you know?
I think sometimes...
I shut myself to everyone.
Yeah. But
I think
sometimes, too, that, like, I remember... when I worked in palliative care, for example, and then you'd have patients on the, we had a palliative care unit within our unit, and sometimes you would have the palliative patients who were, obviously they were dying, and they would never complain. They just were stoic, and they were brave, and then you'd have other patients that had they were sick and everything, but they weren't dying, and they were the biggest complainers of life, you know, and that was, amazing to me at times because,
I would run across people like that when I worked for the fire department. We used to give a spiritual talk, and when... And it was a friend of mine that I grew up with, basically. He just complained all the time about everything, you know, and it was just hard to be around him. So I took him to the McDonald's Burn Center here in town, so the kids and the families that are affected. And I said, do you think you have problems? Yeah. They walked out with a different... because, you know, if you think about, I'm having a bad day, such a bad day, well, what about the Marine that's pinned down by a sniper, fighting for his life, or the person that's got no hospital around, you know, the inevitable, just and the suffering. So we have it pretty good. Emotionally, everybody's got to deal with, find help where they can, and they need to do that. But you can't carry it around with you. Can't wear it on your sleeve. You got to deal. And everybody's different. Everybody's different. So it's hard. I find it hard to give advice in that field or that in that manner. That matters. But for that reason, everybody's got a different way of dealing with it. And because it worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Exactly.
You got to find your.
We just have to be sensitive. We have to be very sensitive to what other people are going through. And I think as long as we're sensitive, and respectful. I mean, it's something that can be very helpful to others that are going through it. So it's a very
I think that's a sign of when it's at its peak, when it's you're the most emotional is when you're blind to other things around you. That's certainly a thing to get out of. You know, first to acknowledge. You know. Find somebody to talk. Sometimes a stranger is the best person to talk to, not a friend.
Yeah.
I mean that.
True.
I'm not a totally stranger.
I know.
I'm going to agree with that.
I agree.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Melissa.
I would definitely agree with that sometimes a stranger is easier or better to talk to about certain things than a good friend. I've got friends that since the second stroke, which, like I said, 3 months ago, haven't even reached out to me once, or in family members that are like my brother, that kind of thing. Nobody. Hey, are you okay? How you doing? How you feeling? What's going on? Nobody.
Wow.
Nobody. I just sit here like nothing. Nobody, I hear from nobody. They all know I can't drive. They all know I can't go anywhere. They all know I'm not working. They all know I can't do anything. And nobody calls. Nobody even pops a text. Nothing.
Yeah, you know, that's not so uncommon, being that a lot of this kind of stuff is too heavy for people to deal with.
I think so. I think that just seeing me diminished in a diminished capacity.
Yeah.
And that makes it all too real for them.
Wow.
I put the fear of their own mortality in them just by being.
You know, for you to say that so soon after you've had your strokes, and to be able to be that open about it, is amazing. You know, I think it is anyways, because, you know, it's so easy to become bitter and cranky. And I think, you know, yowza, I don't know how I would cope with what you've gone through. I don't know that I could do it like you're doing it. I really don't.
No,
because
you have to, because you can't just give up.
Yeah.
It's not like I can just give up. I mean, I could just lie here and not eat and not do anything, and eventually I'd succumb. But, you know, what's the point of that? I also got people that I need to stay strong for. My mom needs me in her life, and my husband needs me in his life.
Yeah.
You know,
good point.
Wow.
Just smile as much as you can.
That's a big deal. And Bella, you and I have had a conversation before about this kind of thing, like when you've got, you know, I've been through cancer, and I say to myself, and I really believe this, even for, and this is just for me, I don't know that I could go through treatment again. I don't know that I would want. Yeah. No, I don't think I would. It would be, it was an experience that, you know, that's a tough one too, but I really don't think I could, do it. I think it would be something that would be, you know, I don't know.
It depends on the person, Mama.
Yeah.
No? It depends on the person. Your decision is yours alone, and no one can really change what you really want to do. So since you have already experienced how is it like to, you know, I call it a microscope, to be under the microscope and try to survive, and then just survive and survive, so that you will please other people. You sometimes you just don't want to go back there, and you just live your life to the fullest until, you know, you wake up
and
tell the person that matters to you, this is it. You know? I'm waiting for that moment too.
Yeah, I hear you. Unless you've kind of been there, it's hard to understand that. And I mean, and you're a nurse and I'm a nurse, and so that part of it is different than someone who's not, you know, because we've seen a lot of different things that you, you know, in some case, and I'll say, you know, there's worse things than dying, you know. Sometimes there are worse things than dying. And and sometimes the treatment, like chemo and stuff like that, is like, wow, I don't know that I could do that again. No. So it's, but it is very personal, that's for sure. And so I think what we need to do is have another poem.
Yes.
So let's do that. Now, Hatter, did you bring something for us?
Yes, I did. I posted it in your page.
Oh, I see it here now. Yes, okay. So let's put Hatter in there, otherwise known as my liege. Okay.
First, I got a joke. Do you want to hear a joke?
Okay, let's hear a joke.
Is it appropriate to tell a funny joke? This is a joke about an ex-bird colonel who was a lady. And they say she was hard as nails, but one day she was working late, and she was driving home at 12:30 at night. She gets pulled over by a trooper, and the cop comes up, and first thing she says is, "Officer, I have to tell you that I have a 38 noted in my purse." And he goes,
okay.
"Oh, you do?" And she goes, "Yes, I must. And I have to tell you that I also have a 45 underneath my seat." And he goes, "And one more thing, officer, I have to tell you that I have a nine millimeter Glock in my glove compartment." And he goes, "Holy crap! What are you afraid of?" She goes, "Absolutely nothing."
Yeah. What would you be afraid of without our ammunition, right?
Yeah.
Red One Hatter.
So I Might Love Again. So it's called. Goes like this.
Oh.
I took back all the rules.
Oh.
I took back all the reasons. I thought I heard you say your answers held tomorrow's time. The questions I had today. Will you tell the brokenhearted? Tell them I was here. I cannot see tomorrow's heart each time I feel you near. I will always say I love you, the words you left behind, those things I keep inside me, can no longer spare the time. Please tell me it gets better. I'll never have to pretend. Say the words that I need to hear, so I might love again. Ta-da. Little sorrow.
You know, Hatter, this is beautiful. Just like you are. And I just love your stuff. It's so, you know, it makes you cry. A lot of your poetry makes me cry because I know that person inside of you is, and just to this poem that, you know, you, I know you'll love again. And, he's, you know, you're the biggest romantic on the planet. Even though you say you're the angry poet, I don't believe it for one second, because I see a different person. But I appreciate this is a beautiful piece, and has your famous rhyme in it, and I love that, and everything about it. So Melissa, what did you think?
There was a very distinct energy to it and a very lovely flow. There's just something very tender and poignant about asking to be able to love again and exposing yourself like that.
Yeah.
So that takes courage.
Yeah, it was like I chose this one because it's sort of like realize you can't change things, you can't make somebody do something they don't want, and it's the I will always say I love you, the words you left behind, those things I keep inside me, can no longer spare the time. I can't waste any more time spinning my wheels in a one-sided love affair. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So I don't know if Deb's calling in. I'm hoping that she is. She didn't say anything that she's not.
She's calling in the second half.
Huh?
Second half, lady.
Okay.
Second half of the show.
Okay. Okay. So Bella. Me, Bella. Do you have something you want to share with us this evening, and it's poetry-wise?
What did Bella think of my poem?
Yeah, what did Bella think of Hatter's poem?
I was talking on mute. Crazy me.
Yeah.
So, I saw the title, so I Might Love Again. And it's been ages since the last time I heard Hatter read. And this one is a treat that I've been longing to hear Hatter say that word again. And when he said, "Will you tell the brokenhearted, tell them I was here?" I was there too. We were all, right? And that touched me deeply. because I could feel the heaviness inside of him, the longing for that word. He's not just longing to that person, but he is actually desiring or longing for that four-letter words that I can even decipher what the hell that is, but he was able to make me feel it. And, you know, how does sometimes, even though it's painful to hold, but then again, in time, maybe when the time is ripe, you will be able to say, I am loving again, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Thank you, Bella.
Put me in your pocket.
Yeah, you can come home with me in my pocket.
Crazy Hatter.
Welcome.
I have something for you, Mama.
Okay, can you put it on the board?
Yes, and it's an old piece, and I'm saying sorry in advance. This is one of my favorite poems that I've written so far, because of the title, not only the title, but the message itself. And this one can be written for someone I loved, or it can be generalized, you know? So I will read the AN first, and you will understand another two, and hopefully Melissa would understand. So I've been thinking about this, how to say goodbye to someone you love. Not because you want to. It's because one day you will have to, even if you refuse to do so. Time. So no matter how much I try to ink it, I still break into millions of shards. Know that I shattered first before you. I wrote this one for someone, and I've foreseen it already months before. So, yeah, I'm not with a person anymore. So paint me 1,000 letters. So how are we going to do this? It is not going to be an easy task. Do we clench on each other's hands, kiss them while they are warm, hold them until the rainbow disappears, until the moon rejects the morning dew? Do we brush on each moist cheeks, cup the face of my anemic time to feel the tenderness you bring? Do we blink 1,000 times, collect the loneliness that drips, forge each one into memories only you and I can whisper? I don't know how to do this. How about you? Can you teach me how? Maybe you can. Try to write me a letter, to write me a song. Paint me 1,000 words, make them sway in our hearts. Love and be loved unguardedly. Dance, go, find our tune, share it without restrictions. Make love to the stars, allow the moon to feel jealous, share your blazing romance. Smile and laugh, then tear while giggling. Smile with no heaviness, be happy. Then sometimes think about me, then write to me. Mi amor, share the memories of my untold breath, draft it on the hazy mirror, or trace the wind our stories, leave an imprint on dandelions, make my tears be gone. Help heaven stop from weeping, anything. Then find me in your heart every day, every moment, until your every day and every moment becomes yours sometimes. And then they will turn into until you can. But never forget to murmur to the breeze what it means to paint 1,000 words. And boom.
Wowza.
Yeah.
That, you know, I listen to your voice, and there isn't anybody that writes like you, and I've said this a million times, but there really isn't anyone that writes like you, that speaks those words as you do, and with such passion. And, you know, you're a Freeverse writer, and I never noticed that. I never, ever, because I'm a rhymer. And I never noticed that in your pieces because they blend and they flow so beautifully well that you don't even notice. It's just a natural stream of words and thoughts that just blend at every turn. And I think that's a gift in itself. And I find myself mesmerized when you read and, you know, waiting for the next line. And it just, they're so powerful. And I think this is gorgeous, and there's so many gorgeous things about it. It flits from one place to another. Do we clench on each other's hands, kiss them while they are warm, hold them until the rainbow disappears, until the moon rejects the morning dew? You know, you speak, what do we do with all of this stuff that we've been through, all these things and these moments? And then clearly, you know, I don't know how to do it. Can you teach me? And then you have your reply to the questions asked in the first part of the poem. And I love the dance part. Dance. Go and find our tune. Share it without restrictions. The whole piece is just stunningly beautiful. All of your poetry is like that, I find. I just love it so much. And I'm happy that you've called into the show and share this with us. And I think that the end of this piece, I think you never forget to murmur to the breeze what it means to paint 1,000 words. And you paint your words so much, with so much beauty that I can't even get my mind around it, because you have such a great way of speaking your thoughts. Wow. So, Melissa, what did you think of that?
Thank you, Mama.
I thought that piece was absolutely stunning. The effective use of language, but it was also the way, the cadence of it and just the flow of it. It had a desperation, a quality of desperation. You can feel the frustration, and you can actually feel the emotion. And you can feel it rising throughout and ebbing and flowing as it gets calmer, and then it raises to a crescendo again. It just really, I felt like I could feel that as she was reading it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melissa.
There's a beautiful quality to that, because it doesn't seem like you're reading something. It was more like you were actually speaking from your heart.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone, actually, to my paper and pen during that time. I was struggling. And then this person didn't want to let me go, but it started from there. But you know when it's time already, so you can't sleep anymore, because you have to think what's going to happen to this person if something happens to you. And I'm just waiting for the moment to call someone dearly. I call Mama and tell her it's time.
Oh, I love you.
You know, I love you.
Thank you.
And that's the meaning of to paint 1,000 words, because I want the person to understand where this piece is coming from. And that's the reason why I created this. I wanted to tell him directly that, look, I want to tell you this, but I know that he will not have the strength to accept that part because he's too blinded. And I can understand why. That's why I wrote it like that. And thank you, Melissa, for seeing that. Yes, it's a conversation between me and my crazy thoughts.
So, Heather, how would you? Let's hear from you.
I agree. Hold my hand until the rainbow disappears, the moon rejects the morning dew. Do we blink 1,000 times? The loneliness that drips, only you and I can whisper. I don't know how to do this. How about you? Try. Mm. Write me a letter, a song. Paint me 1,000 words. Wow, I miss you. Oh, that was me.
I miss you.
Yes, it's great to hear your voice on here again. And I want to take a second because I do believe we have Francisco.
Hello there. Hello there, Lady A. Muy bien, como siempre.
Okay. Good to have you here. Did you get to hear Bella's piece by any chance?
No, unfortunately, I was not able to.
Okay. And I've got we'll get your poem up. I'm just going to read my poem and we'll put yours up after. And I wrote this about a month ago and it was with regard to, because, pain and suffering can be emotional as well as the physical or mental pain, like the emotional side of things can get to you after a while. And I'm going through a lot of, and have been for, it seems like forever, with my kids, my one daughter in particular. And it's the trickle-down effect has been just more than I can stand. And so I wrote this piece. I put it in the room. It's called Memories Ingrained. And tell me when you have it, and then we'll go from there.
No, I have it already.
Okay, so, you heard this before, Frank, and so hopefully you won't be bored of it, but it's called Memories Ingrained.
I'm never bored.
I don't know how not to be me. I don't know who to be. I don't know how to reshape my soul or how to change my goals. I don't know how to rid myself of guilt or clean what has been spilt. All I know is my love, my desire to give you what I was deprived of. Fear confuses and causes chaos, imbalances, trips, falls, and betrays us. Questions asked go unanswered. Understanding is abandoned. Travel the crevices of the brain, hidden deep inside memories ingrained. We can do better, give all that never was. Future is secured with change. Talk, share, resolve, singular gratification or resolution for all. Good intentions, no one cares. Deaf ears cannot hear. Years of torture racked with guilt. Forgiveness can cover like a quilt. Erase the past, live today for a future, make way. I know how to be me. I know who to be. This is how to reshape my soul and keep my goals, rid myself of guilt and clean what has been spilt. And I beg forgiveness. End poem.
Well, Frank, what do you think?
Oh, yes, I do recall this piece here. It's very powerful, very compelling piece there, Lady A. Can I call you Andrea? I know I hardly ever call you that. But,
yes.
I just love this piece here. You know, everything that you write that comes from your soul, your heart, is always genuine. There's never nothing that you write of this nature here to be questioned. Because when we write of this type of writing, you know, although at times we might use the metaphors here to disguise emotions here, it's always relatable. I don't think anyone could not relate to this. This is a piece here that speaks the truth here. It's sad. It is hidden to some extent, but it's there and it's your truth. And tonight you're sharing it with us, so it makes us our truth as well. I just thought it was a wonderful, exquisite write. It's a painful piece, but it also has a moral, as I wrote there. It's a piece there that has a message to it, a piece that offers an admission there. And that notion there of that last line there, you say, I know how to beg to be me. I know who to be. Just how to reshape my soul, keep my goals, myself of good and clean, what has been split, a big forgiveness. That must be, it's very haunting. Yet at the same time, it's very cleansing. I can think that it was a catharsis experience for you here in this piece here, and knowing you and what, you know, the time that I've known you now, I know that you write from the heart, and it's always genuine.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome. You know, I always go for you.
Thank you very much.
And Bella. And Bella, what do you think?
I love the entire piece. If you will see how Mama A writes, you can see her trademark, her words, her, her adjectives, you know. I'm sorry. What really resonates in me? Well, everything about it is resonating, but you still have that favorite part, right? And because I can see her in that part more. Talk, share, resolve, singular gratification or resolution for all. Good intentions, no one cares. Deaf ears cannot hear. Years of torture. Wracked with guilt, forgiveness can cover like a kill. Erase the past. Mama, see that part? Live today for a future, make way. And I found a posting in a Facebook days ago. And then it made me smile, really. It made me smile. And I found myself whispering to myself, yes. And you will only understand what I'm trying to say once you see that post. Because this woman found the strength in her. And I don't see it as, you know, greed. But it's a self-empowerment, and that's what I would like that's what I see in here when she wrote this one, when she read it. And then the last part gave the impact, made you think what was going on in this part. But if you know this person who wrote this poem, you will understand the entire picture. I know how to be me. And then she goes, rid myself of guilt and clean what has been spilled. I beg forgiveness. To whom do you beg forgiveness? To Mama. I love this piece.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And then, is it Melanie? What do you think?
Melissa, yeah.
I thought the repetition of those lines from the beginning to the end was very effective, because the beginning, when you had started out with, I don't know how to be somebody else, I only know how to be me, I felt sad. I felt like very sad for the person saying that, I don't know how to love you like you want to be, that whole part kind of thing. I felt very sad for that person, and the level of emotion changed on that by the end it became like an empowering statement of, I know who I am, I know how to be me. Well, that's how I got as a takeaway from it.
Thank you very much. It's very hard when you know, we all need to be validated. We all want to be accepted. We all need to be loved. And sometimes we are not loved as we should be, because people and it's really hard when it's your family, you know, that they don't accept who you are. And I find that difficult. I'm very different than my kids. I'm very different than how I deal with things. It's hard when people disapprove of you for those reasons. You know, and this is why I find myself in this position. It is very sad. I feel defeated in a lot of ways, and it's very shitty and unfair, because I think each of us has a right to be who we are, you know, and if we expect to be, if others expect to be accepted, then we should be able to be accepted as well, And
doesn't
that's
it,
something that I find.
Like,
I'm sorry?
Doesn't it seem like the ones that would accept, the ones that would demand acceptance are the ones that will not give acceptance? Doesn't it seem like that?
Yes, exactly, exactly, exactly. And that's frustrating because, you know, because it makes you nervous, you know, to be around those people because you don't know if you're going to say anything right or wrong or indifferent or whatever. It's very nerve-wracking because I find, I discussed this with my youngest daughter a few weeks ago, and I, you know, she was saying some things, and I said, what you want from me is for me not to be me. You know, because, you know, I'm an open book. I ask a lot of questions. If, you know, I feel somebody's having a rough time, I'm very empathetic. I feel the best way to get to know somebody is to ask them about themselves, you know, and if that's, you know, an embarrassment, then you know, there's not really a whole lot I can do about that. I just feel like, we should be able to express ourselves without fear of reproach or being criticized. The criticism is a killer because
it's part of our human nature there.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. To be quite honest, I'm really sick of it, and it's something that is so unfair. And I'm going to shut up now. But I mean, it's just a very difficult thing when you know that there's so much disapproval.
I agree. I couldn't agree more wholeheartedly. I actually live in a part of my situation, so I can commiserate with that, actually. I deal with a non-acceptance issue with my mother, and I happen to share a home with my husband and my mother. So I'm constantly feeling like I'm not doing the right thing and not allowed to be me.
Yeah. It's really horrible.
That's why I said, then that's the same person that would demand that I accept them for who they are, is the one that would deprive me of that.
And it's not like you're a murderer, you know what I mean? Like it's just your personality. I mean, just, you know, like they don't like you, and it's really awful. And I've always, I guess, prided myself in being, you know, an open book and having an open mind and you know, but you can't choose your family members, you know what I mean? Like you just, and if they don't like you, they don't like you. And, you know, anyways, there's a bunch of other stuff, but I mean, I still can say, even though things are crappy, that I do like the person that I am. I like the strength that I've had over all my life, and have needed my whole life. And I think that it's a good thing to look to. You know, like we can be whatever we want to be and do whatever we want to do because we set our minds to it. And I think that that's a great thing, but we can't all be the same, and I don't want to be the same as everybody else, and I think it's important that we're able to express that, and that's why I like writing poetry, because it's my secret place that I can go to and have the safety of expressing myself, and I think that's what's cathartic about it, you know? Okay, I'm
going to
shut up.
I'm going to shut
up. You don't shut up. Hey, Mama, you don't. You are, you know, speaking from your heart, and I can understand because I think only us who can relate, you know, who is in this circle can relate that when we write, we transition to this part that no one can understand really except from us, because they can't really see what you can see. So that's what I said in my poem yesterday, that when I write things, I transition to a place that no one can understand because they cannot see what I can see, which is true. Other people, when I ask them, my mom, and I ask her, she's also an artist, I asked her, what can you see with my poem? And she said, you know, they are beautiful words, and that's about it. They cut off with just beautiful words. They cannot see my emotion. They cannot.
No.
So I tell her, oh, wow. So... it's hard when people close to you cannot see your emotion. You get really frustrated. But then again, I shake it off of me. That's like how you do it all the time, because you tell yourself, "Well, I'm fucking, I'm effing beautiful. Take it or leave it, right, Mama? You are." So
yeah.
If someone from your family don't like you, well, okay, then too bad. I love myself, right? I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm a goddess too, so just like you were, Bella.
Well, I'm not gonna say I'm a god yet, but
Hi.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Thank you guys. And let's see. And Frank, well, you should put your poem up. And we'll do that right away. Let me see. Where are we? Did you put yours in the room too, Frank? You didn't read yours. Yet.
Yeah.
There you are.
It's at the bottom. I would. Yeah, it's at the bottom, I believe.
Okay, I'm going to put it up there now, and. I'm hoping that everybody gets, I think we're doing pretty good. If you guys have another poem, we have time for another poem. But okay, Frank's in there now, so you can.
Yeah, I wish I could stay and give another poem. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. I can stay until about half hour. Well, so what? It's going to be 11:30 over here around that, so I can stay until that long. This is a piece here, and I saw your theme there. You know, I know you talked about pain and trying to understand that and trying to learn from it. I just didn't want to go to the pain night too much there, Andrea. I wanted to go with something that was perhaps meaningful in substance, and this is the poem here that I came. It was inspired by a friend of mine. She inspired me for this piece here. It's from my series here of Oscar Wilde. It's called To Accept Oneself. And I wanted to talk about acceptance. And this is the piece here that reflects that. And it goes like this. To accept oneself is the acknowledgement of one's true self with undeniable imperfections and truths. Man must discover who he is and who is not. To be remembered for what he accomplished and for what he failed in. There are many forms of illusions, or there are many forms of truths. The answer lies in the relativity of what is discovered. Man may never fully understand the reason for which he was born, nor the reason for which he must die, except for the fact that he will be born and one day die. He will embark on a philosophical, spiritual journey where he reaches the zenith of enlightenment, an enlightenment of the mind and soul. To a place in the mind where he can recognize his faults as much as his deeds that will distinguish ultimately his character. In the world we live in, there are people that never discover themselves or never desire to know, care, who they really are beyond the surface of the skin. Men either boast of their conquests or simply deny their wrongdoings. Yet what they hide is always unveiled. In this world, a man chooses to defy himself or allow others to define himself so cowardly. A man must be his own man and not walk behind the shadow of no man, including the image that is his imposter. The beauty I talk about is not that which forms or deforms our physicality. Instead, it is the beauty of the soul and of the mind. I accept I am a man of imperfections, but my imperfections are not my impurity or ugliness. There's a greater need to do for others than to do for yourself. But this is the difference between a real man and a selfish man. I am a man that has a name of no prestige. I am a man walking alone, but I do not fear the unknown. On the contrary, I know who I am in the poem.
Oh, see, that's what we're talking about right there. And that was an amazing piece, I think. And, wow. You know, and you command such a presence when you orate, because of your intelligence. It shines through your poetry all the time, and I think that's amazing that you have that gift. And let me just refer to a couple of things. And I know Oscar Wilde is your hero as a poet.
One of several.
One of them, yeah. But there are many forms of illusions, as there are many forms of truths. The answer lies in the relativity of what is discovered. I thought that this was a brilliant couplet as well. Man may never fully understand the reason for which he was born, nor the reason for which he must die, except for the fact that he will be born and one day die. I thought, you know what I mean? Like, we don't think of things in that vein, and you bring that forward in such a great way, I think. And I think that there are many, many lines in here that I like. You know, when you look at someone, and then you touched on that in the next, in the world we live in, there are people that never discover themselves or never desire to know or care who they really are beyond the surface of the skin. There are so many people like that. They don't have any depth to them. And I'm not being a poop when I say that, but and they don't, their world is so small. It's like these four walls, and they don't care to go farther than those four walls. They are content, and maybe that's a good thing, that they're content in their little world. I don't know, but I thought that you touched on that really quite beautifully. And there's a lot of things that you've said in your poem, and I'm not going to steal all the thunder, so I'm going to ask, Bella, what did you think, Bella?
Thank you very much.
This is such a power in this piece, and the truth. I love the truth, and it's very unique when a person writes about what's inside of them. I actually wrote something here. I like the part when he said, "I am a man walking alone, yet I do not fear the unknown. On the contrary, I know who I am." So how many can really say that part, you know, that they do not fear the unknown? Probably in my fingers, I can only count 2-3 sometimes. Okay, and I think the one that's who are not comfortable with what they have. And when I looked up and I saw it was talking about imperfections, I accept I am a man of imperfections. And like I said, only few can see that. Imperfections, they are what I call the dance, you know. It's like having a paper, very smooth, and then you all of a sudden you see a thing that made that paper imperfect, but that imperfection is unique to you, and that's your the distinct touches, like what I wrote in there, and they are not really ugly in a person who can understand what you've been through, but they are part of the beauty that you are presenting, and that's the most important part, right? Beautiful piece.
Yes, by all means. I think imperfections are that of which we believe we have. We all, it's perception there, my dear. we all have to understand that we all are beautiful. And if we don't realize that and we only concentrate on what others tell us are our imperfections, then we'll never understand the meaning of what beauty is in the first place.
Wow. So, Melissa, what did you think?
I thought this piece was it was beautifully written, and just the language is magnificent. But it's profoundly a different piece when read aloud than when reading it by yourself. As I was reading along, it's a profoundly different and more powerful piece aloud. It was just absolutely gorgeous, gorgeously done that way.
I agree with
everything it's saying, and you know, the whole message of know who you are, understand who you are, and understand who you are. You have to acknowledge your faults and your flaws, you know. But just in the reading of it, it really gives it a whole different dimension.
Agreed. And I just wanted to point out really quick that I think it's very relevant here that, you know, in some of us it takes forever to really get to that point of self-awareness, self-acceptance, you know. And I always believe that there's never an age to understand, to realize, or to accept one. It all has to be, it's all in the mind, you know. We have to embrace our physicality the way it is, you know, accept the beauties of what we have instead of just worrying about what others see as our imperfections.
Yeah, we've come far from that, from being, you know, we're so worried about what other people think that we're not, we lose ourselves in that. And
that's why I put this piece here. That's why I brought this piece tonight, because I figured that this is much more profound. I mean, I didn't want to bring a piece that, you know, I'm somewhat to the point where I'm tired of writing about my pain or whatever pains I have. So I wanted to bring a piece that had a message to it, and I thought this was adequate enough for tonight.
It was great. I thank you for bringing it. I think it's a wonderful thing that we can all share and experience life with the flavors of other people's insight. You know, that sometimes we don't think of things as we should because, you know, we get sidetracked a lot of the time for what's going on in our lives. And, you know, I think it's
easy. It's easy to be the villain. You know, anyone can be the villain. It's harder to be the hero, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it takes guts, to be a hero. It takes guts to break out of the mold and step out of our comfort zone. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to be different that way. And it's not an easy thing, you know. It's really not an easy thing to do. And I think that we all do our best, I guess, but the big thing for me about things that you go through is you have to learn from them. You know, you have to be able to say you've learned something in the course of the experiences that you're going through. And I think that's the key. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail.
Can I say something?
It's okay to experience all of those things, but the important thing is to learn and change yourself because of it. Maybe I'm being simplistic.
May I say something?
I agree.
Yes, of course you can.
I think you hit it on the head. In this world, a man chooses to define himself or allows others to define him. And a man should not walk in the shadow of another man, including his imposter. I think the sign of the times. Now, I was raised on a farm, so that I had plenty of alone time. I think that's when your self-reflectiveness and your self-awareness happens is it's the epiphanies of your inner self when you're alone. And I think society today takes away the spirituality growth of the young, of the youth. Nobody is ever basically alone, not in a sense that you could consider it lonely. But
yeah.
I think that's the self-awareness comes that, and there is such, there is an urgency to it. Because like Frank wrote, in this world, a man chooses to define himself and allow others to define him. If you don't, the longer you wait, the more you will be labeled something you might not want to be or be perceived that way. So you do have to go, you do, well, my point was the urgency of finding yourself, self-reflection or spirituality, and I think our society goes about it the wrong way. Ability to appreciate life around you is diminished by the lack of spirituality in the growth of the children. It's the place of the spirituality that they put in. Call it religion, call it group awareness, call it part of the family or whatever you want to call it. The more you take that away, the void fills with the demons man's fought for the beginning of time.
Yeah, I would agree.
That makes sense.
And nobody tells anybody they have to go to church. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought there.
Well, I would just say, my mom used to say, you know, as a nation, the further away from a church we get, the worse off we are. And she goes, any church. My mom was a devout Catholic Christian, and now she, when she said any church, you know, I knew exactly what she meant. It's not, you don't have to tell somebody they're going to hell because they don't believe the same way you do. It's a thing called faith, and it's inner, it's part of your soul, and it helps you get through life, and its bumps and tragedies. You have to have faith. People that were never raised in a house of faith, you can't have this conversation with because they don't get it. They don't understand faith. There's a reason for things, and it's man's flawed. Anything man has ever touched is flawed. Start there instead of trying to decipher a book and say, what is this, the biggest fairy tale of all times? Well, you know, is that all you got out of it? Really? Okay. You know, because you've got to start that. You got to start there, and I think that would help the growth of any individual to find themselves and their self-worth in this life. The sooner you do that, the better off you are.
Yeah.
End of comment.
I would agree with that.
Thanks for that, Hatter. And so I think now everybody that I've got on the phone, has everybody read their poem?
Yes.
So if you want, we have about a little better than 30 minutes left. So if you want to dig up something else.
I was just asking if you were in the studio. I haven't checked the board.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
When you ask us, what are you asking of as far as what type of poem? I mean, I'm going to have to go, but I can drop a poem there.
We can open it up just open poetry if you like, or we can continue in this vein.
All right. I'll drop one here, and Hatter could read it for me, because I'm going to have to go, unfortunately.
You have to go?
I'll drop it off. Yeah, I have to get.
Right.
Yeah, so it's getting into 11:30 over here. So what I'll do is I'll drop a poem here. You tell me what type of poem you would want me to drop there, and Hatter could read it for me.
Well, whatever you like, you thought it would do a little bit of open poetry, or if you wanted to stay in the same vein, it's up to you guys. I'm easy, but I'm not.
I'll find a poem here, and I'll let Hatter there. Hatter could read it. I mean, I've got a piece here that's a humorous piece there, but I'm not sure if. If you want humor there, or you want to, it just depends on what you want. That's what I'm certain about.
Well, I'm opening it up to open poetry. So whatever is
You know what? I'm gonna do this here. I'm gonna drop a piece here that a piece that I actually did read before I came on here, and it's a dedication
yeah.
here. So I'll let my good friend here, Hatter. He could. I'll put it on the board right there. It's my dedication to Lou. You. I'm not sure if you want me to read it really quick before I go.
Oh, Lou.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I'll read it really quick before I go. It's this is a piece here that I read tonight, and it goes like this. It's a dedication to Luyu. A voice is a seduction of a softness of raindrops. A spirit is the roaming call of a nocturnal wolf. Her eyes are the beautiful gleam of the moonlight. Her soul is a divinity, a mother nature's wonders. Her smile is the purity of the colorful rainbow. Her laughter is the sound of the cadence of a harmony. Her heart is a precious pearl of its own unique luster. The words of the intimacy of the realm of wisdom. Her passion for life is the clear sign of her humanity. Her devotion to her friends, family is a pride and joy. Her sincerity is the true blessing of a sweet angel. Her dedication to poetry is the elegance of a quill. Luyu, you are the beacon of the grace of hope and love. Without you, the airways remain somber and sober, for you are the fresh breath of a new season transpiring. Without you, we have us lost within the silent darkness. We wait for you to return again in the coming of the brink of dawn. Espero irte sonriendo de nuevo con todo de nosotros, mi amiga, y te quiero mucho que lo sepas. Te echo de menos, querida, do you? End of poem. Basically, what that says there is, I hope to see you laughing again with all of us, my friend. I love you much. I hope you know that. I miss you very much, my beloved Louie. That's what it translates to in English.
Beautiful. And I hate to ask, but is she okay? Or sounds like she's
I don't know 100%. I'm not sure if I can say on the air, but I don't know the status completely there, and it does break my heart because I really care for her. Just like Kat, I know Hatter does as well, and I know every one of us. I don't know the whole situation. I'd be lying if I told you that she's going to be well soon. I don't know. I would hope that it is the case, but I'm not 100% sure. But I'm just doing my little part here, Andrea. You know, I'm just doing my little part here to commemorate there, my friend. And I just want her to be known that she's really missed, really loved. I know that has to say the same thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow. It's a beautiful tribute. It's a beautiful tribute to a beautiful person. And you know what? I'm going to read one that I wrote for her a long time ago. What did you think of this, Melissa?
I really just got to go with what you said. It was a beautiful tribute. I don't know the person, but to the beautiful person, I would imagine. Just and again, this is another one where it being read aloud gave it more dimension.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, I want to welcome Deb Lee into the room. Hi, Deb.
Oh. Hey, you.
Hello, Deb.
Where are you?
Hello, Deb.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
My friends. Thank you. Thank you for letting me have the floor
Thank
for
you.
Tonight to read
Reading
this
that,
here,
too. I
Andrea.
Appreciate it very, very much. And,
thank you. Thank you for allowing me to read
I'm going to read.
And everyone.
I'm going to read that I wrote.
Send me your poem, and I'll read. Send me your poem, and I'll comment it afterwards, and I'll look at it.
Okay. And, Deb, are you
Take
okay
care,
to
my
be
friend.
Thank you very much, Frank, for calling in and sharing those poems with us. Thank you.
Always my pleasure. Take care.
Great, thanks.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Deborah, are you in a hurry, or are you hanging out for a little bit? Or?
Well, you only have a half hour left. I can stay for a bit.
Okay, so I'm gonna because we're talking about Luyu, I'm going to put a poem that I wrote for her a long time ago, and I just want to find it here. So how are you, Deb?
Hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, same thing for sure.
Hey, Bella. So good to see you.
Mm-hmm. We're all dangling in there, you know, swaying like a pendulum.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you swung this way. It's been a while.
Yes, isn't it? In her voice, yeah. I'm going to put this in the room. And this poem I wrote quite a while ago. I'm just there. It's in the room there now. And she and I talked one time, and she said this to me, which really is where the poem has come from, her spirit. She said, "I just put my hand on your heart." And then she said, "Don't let them steal your heart light." So I love you, Lulu, and this poem is for her. It's called "Quietly She Roared." From the jungle, she emerges naked, unafraid. Spear in hand, she is girded. She will not be swayed. Humanity from her womb, born with pain and sorrow. One child at her breast, another born tomorrow. Spirit of encouragement, protector from the start. No more tears, my sister. I just put my hand on your heart. She has the strength of 1,000 suns, wild, a regal queen. Covers those who falter with empathy clearly seen. Like winds, breeze, brushing skin, gently her voice speaks. Into the brokenness of chaff cut away from the wheat. Don't let them steal your heart light, quietly she roared. She knows about survival, she's crossed many fjords. Sisters from ancient times, across lands and seas, from oppression's darkest jungles to mountaintops, free. Women who birthed the world, join us in this song. Let no one rob you of who you are. Stand tall. Stand strong. That's Lulu. I don't really need to have any comments on it or anything like that, but where Frank had one for her, I thought it was a good way of joining that in. So, Deborah Lee, I'm going to put your poem in the room, and we'll get you to read that. And where are you? Here you are. Oops. I'm trying to copy it. Okay, now I'm in the room. Here we go. There. Are you ready to read there, kiddo?
Sure, I can do that. This is called "Red Sunshine All Over the Place. Just Put on a Happy Face." Here we go. Clouds cover the tangerine sun, shrouding the colors on the sky, grounding yellow feathered finches that now cannot see to fly. They crash without the light. So do I. Muscle spasms squeeze me, cramping toes as 2 feet walk. Numb fingertips misfire, and in sleep the nightmares stalk. Clawing the escarpment dangling from my fingernails, ripping from the cuticles, the ache inside me wails. Crawling in wet quicksand, shadow creatures laugh at me, drowning in the darkness, but the people cannot see. Now I mark the written pages with big smiles and butterflies, tucked behind the mirror smoke, as teardrops pour from eyes. And boom.
Oh, wow. That's very, very sad.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I absolutely loved the line about the crash without in the absence of the light, and so do I. Found that just amazingly powerful and just something to remind ourselves of that we all do. Basically, you have to have hope. You have to have light.
For sure. Thank you.
And Della, what did you think?
No, it made me, by the way, that I miss how you read your poem. It's been a while. I lost count already. But while you were reading, I remember this one quote that, you know, kept on playing in my head for months now. And in the quote, it says, "The person with the most beautiful smile usually the one who just came out from the battle, a non-nose." So the reason why I was thinking that way, because Debs has this part when she said that clawing the escarpment, dangling by my fingernails, ripping from the cuticles, the ache inside me wails. Now I marked her in pages with big smiles and butterflies, and the ending, as teardrops pour from eyes. And sometimes we feel that way, right? And sometimes people just see us as, you know, there's someone that can really make you smile or make people be lightened up, but they don't know really the story behind those smiles. And I don't know if I am in the right track here, Debs, but your poem mimics the one that you have on the near AN. If you combine them together, they can be a beautiful story, beautiful to read. And I miss your voice, really. And I'm not crying.
Thank
you,
know. Bella.
I don't cry.
I miss your voice, too.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I think we lose track of who we are sometimes, and we lose sight of the real purpose in life. And I like shows like this because we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We allow ourselves to be seen as who we really are, and in our strength and our weaknesses. And more than that, it shows, you know, who we are as a people to help each other. And I love that about this group. And, you know, everybody's had a story to tell. And everybody has some sort of sorrow to share. And I think that it's so important to be able to have that freedom to share that in a safe place, in a soft place to fall. And so I appreciate that about everybody. And let me see, did I get everybody? Yes, the Hatter's dropped, so, and Frank is gone too, so. Deborah, that was a beautiful piece, and, you know, there's an element of sadness in this, and that feeling of drawing the escarpment, dangling by my fingernails, ripping from the cuticles, the ache inside me wails. Wow. There's a lot of pain in this. See, and this last verse says it all. Now I mark the written pages with big smiles and butterflies tucked behind the mirror smoke as teardrops pour from my eyes. Ain't that the truth? You know, that's the truth of it all, is that we have this facade, and sometimes people can't break through it, and sometimes we don't let them break through. And but I can hear it in your voice, too, like, you know, even when you first came on, you could hear that in your voice. And, you know, it's the cloud is there, and we force ourselves to let the sun shine, even when we don't want it shining, when we want to crawl in a hole and die. And I think that this was a piece that was so very truthful, and I appreciate the honesty in this as well. You know, crawling in wet quicksand, shadow creatures laugh at me, drowning in this darkness, but the people cannot see. Because we leave ourselves alone. A lot of times people are really private and they don't share this kind of thing with everybody or anybody sometimes. And I think that can, for me, I'm an open book and I can talk about it, and, you know, it gets it out of me, and that's where it needs to stay, is stay out of me, because too often you can get so fatalistic about things, you know, and it's easy to do, and I've done it plenty of times before, and I think that I don't want to like psychoanalyze everybody, but I think that it's a scary thing when you're going through with this kind of stuff, because, you know, your thought processes are changed, and you don't sometimes we don't see clearly, and, you know, that can be scary at times. And but I thank you for writing for this show and being so brutally honest. You know, you're allowed yourself to be vulnerable, and I appreciate that very much. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome.
Thank you. Did just say thank you for actually coming up with this one, because it actually helped me get a lot off my chest. Because no one is listening. I've got no one. And now you guys listened, so.
See, that's a good thing. We always listen. Yeah. That's a good thing, I think.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, my cell phone was dying, so I have... my portable phone, so I got my landline here, and I don't really hear that well on it. Yeah, that's the good thing about poetry. It's a good thing about this group, and it's a good thing about people being real and honest, is that, you know, there's a great deal of respect that comes with that. And like you, I'm glad you feel better after joining the show, and I'm really glad that you did join the show.
I literally sit by myself. My husband goes to work, and like I said, my mom lives in the house too, but she's never here. I'm here by myself all the time, and I have like little to no interaction, and no one calls, so there's never any other voices. It's always just the voice in my head. So this has just been great to hear other voices and actually feel normal for a little bit.
Well, that's great, and I hope that you can take part in all the other shows that are going on every night of the week, and because, you know, there's always something that'll pick you up and keep you busy with the writing. And Deb's got a show on Monday nights that's fabulous, and she has a picture prompt. She has the Monday night shows are great because she's got picture prompts and word banks and colors and all kinds of things that we can write to, and so she has a really great show on Monday nights. And do you have any lineup that you could tell us about, Deb, while we're talking about it?
I'm sure. Tomorrow night at 11 p.m., it's me and Heather and AP, and the topic is rain, wherever that word takes you, rain. Sunday night at 11 o'clock as well is the once-a-month show that Pretty Bird does, and I am clicking on so that I can read you the really awesome quote. The quote is by Pretty Bird, and you're just to take it wherever it leads you, and the quote is, "Oh, sweetie, no. I lowered my expectations. not my standards. So that is her topic for Sunday. And then on Monday, on my show, I started a new series, and probably every other month we will stop and visit a state or national park. And the first national park is in Washington State. It's the Olympic National Park. And I've got a whole bunch of beautiful pictures to choose from. And I'm trying to remember if there's, no, I don't think there's a word bank. Is there? Yeah. Actually, there's a crayon bank. What you have to do is choose at least 10 of my crayon colors and incorporate those colors into your poem about whichever photo you choose. And we're going to travel around the world through state parks and see the beauty of the planet. So that's show one. And Tuesday at 11, Raconteur is doing If Only. So there's the next several days.
And then Wednesday. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
And then Wednesday on the 19th is the Mystery of History with Lady A. And Sky Dark Home helps me create the title pages, and she sets up all the stuff that I don't know how to do technically, and stays with me during the show for conversation and questions. And so this it's every 2 weeks. There's it once a month that we have this. And so basically, what it's about
Mysteries of Histories is once a month.
Yeah.
Place to Fall is once a month, and then the handful of times you step in and cover.
Yeah. So this show will feature the Mysteries of History will feature things like art, music, literature, spotlight tributes, other platforms of media as a gateway to the past, where we can go travel through the decades and visit with hidden cities, events, and forgotten names, and that sort of thing. So this time it's going to be the funniest events in history. So there are prompts that are in it. I'll just read you one or two so you can – there's prompts to pick from. So the first one is, like, after World War One, the Australian military started the Great Emu War, where they tried to call emus with machine guns. And 6 days after the first engagement, 2,500 rounds of ammunition had been fired, and no emus were killed. It was declared an emu victory in the end. You know, there's going to be funny little things. These are all true to life stories. And so here's another one. In the entire state of Ohio in 1895, there were only two cars on the road, and the drivers of these two cars crashed into each other. So you can write a poem of fantasy around those prompts, and there's, like, I think there's 10 prompts altogether. And so it'll be a fun time. And let me see, I'll just read you one more. Between the announcement of Germany's surrender during World War II on radio to Joseph Stalin addressing to the nation, 22 hours later, Russia literally ran out of vodka. So it'll be a fun night with some funny stories based on true funny facts. So you're all welcome to join us then. So and it'll be posted in the room. But if you're looking for it too, you can always see it in the Team of Voices. Click on Team of Voices and you can go down and see what the shows are. The dates are there for people to look. So now, okay, we have like 6 minutes left. So I would like to say thank you to Hatter and Deborah Lee and to Melissa and to Bella and Frank and myself for joining in for tonight's topic. It was great conversation, I thought, and great input and some really great poetry. And Melissa, I'm glad you joined us, and I hope you join us again. I think you'll love it, actually, because every night there's something different going on, and we do have a lot of fun when we get together. And when is our Chick Mac Po show going to be? Next Friday? Deb? Did we lose Deb?
I think Deb's already left, Mama. She said goodnight.
Oh, she did. Okay. I think I've lost my page here. Well, maybe not. Go back in the studio and see who's still here. Because I think it might... Okay. So, Bella and Melissa and I. So, Melissa, I hope you had a good time and come back again. I think
I think I'm going to make an effort to do so more, because I don't actually read enough poetry. I write all the time, but I don't take enough time out to read it or listen to it. And this has been really helpful, just listening to some of it read aloud. Really, I can honestly tell you, probably a couple of those poems just did very different tone.
Yeah, it's so great to hear the poet read it in the tone and with the inflections that are meant to be, you know. And I think it makes a bigger impact for sure. And so it was a treat having you here too, and I'm glad you joined us. And Bella, you know I love you, and I'm so happy that you joined us tonight as well. And again, thanks to Deborah Lee and Heather.
Thank you,
Bella?
So much.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so Melissa just dropped, so I'm going to say goodnight to Bella. Thank you so much for calling in and taking part. You know I love you. And we'll talk soon, if not in a couple of minutes.
Yes, Mama, I love you too, and thank you for the invitation. Mwah.
Anytime.
Congratulations tonight.
Thank you, dear. Love you. Night, night.
I love you. Good night.
Night.